But if you're a good wife, you actually want to help, join me. I'm not even joking. This is my plan. It's called the Kindness Conspiracy. It's random acts of kindness for black people. Do something nice for a black person just because they're black. And you got to make sure they don't deserve it. That's a very important part of it. They can't deserve it. The same way all them years they did terrible things to black people just because they're black and they didn't deserve it.
Hi, Dave. It's Phil Murray from Charleston. I hope you're well. I just want to tell you, I miss seeing you, but I tried that do a nice thing for a black person for no good reason. And it's fucking great, Dave. That's really, really working. That's really great. And I'm now, I'm telling people that I think won't accept the idea. It's just great. I hope you're great. I've only seen you do stuff lately, so I hope that's all okay. I saw you on TV once or twice, but I hope you're having a good holiday and you're taking care of yourself. And I just want to compliment you on that one. Okay. Thank you, sir. Bye.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
If I had the right co-conspirators with me, I would never do this by myself. Boy, if the right niggas is with me, I'm gonna do this shit.
Black folks in Ohio, Toni Morrison. Black folks in Ohio is scary. It's scary.
You have no idea how scary it is. I'm in a land dispute with the whites, if you can imagine such a thing. They're saying crazy things like, that nigger has all the money. White people in America right now are literally losing their minds. Like, literally. I'm just not joking, not exaggerating. So I'm walking down the street. I'm with two sane white people, and an insane white person across the street screams at me, goes, David, what do you really think of Candace Owens? She goes, because she's the best black woman I know, is what he says. I said, well, I can introduce you to others. And it escalates. Yeah, now me and this white boy is yelling at each other from across the street, and people start coming out of the shops, and like a crowd forms.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah, it was terrible racial undertones, and it devolves all the way into, man, fuck yeah, fucking do, like just like nothingness. The last thing he said, I'll never forget it, he goes, everything's upside down. Because he had said something about how poor he was. And I said, well, I don't have those kind of problems. And he screamed to the heavens, everything's upside down.
Everything's upside down. Everything's upside down.
He literally said that in real life.
I wonder why nobody don't like me. Or is it a fact that I'm ugly? I wonder why nobody don't like me. Or is it a fact that I'm ugly?
See, my thing with people like that, this is my thing. Hitler was a horrible, horrible, horrible person. But the Nazis, they thought they were good guys.
Yeah, they did.
They thought they were good guys. They thought they were doing right. And my thing is like, now we have to push back because, look, people can do whatever they want to do, but they don't get to walk around here talking about they good guys. I'm sorry.
I agree.
I'm sorry. You do what you're going to do, and we're going to fight, and we're going to struggle about it. But, you know, you're the fucking Imperial Trooper. You're the Nazi. These motherfuckers out here, because people do not push back.
Everything's upside down.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, motherfucker, you are a dumb motherfucker who's uneducated. That's who you are. You are not a patriot.
You sound like the voice inside of my brain.
Inside of your brain? It's all over Twitter. What are you talking about?
That's what I was about to say. You sound like the voice of a transcript of one of your exchanges earlier today. I couldn't argue with these people. I'd be like, first of all, let's talk about your wardrobe. You're not qualified to have this exchange with me, just based on the shapes that you chose to cover your body.
The shapes?
I think that's my main critique of the current lifestyle. The proverbial they make it appear as though your life has to be meaningless. It ain't nothing to do but shop or eat around this motherfucker or go see a movie. You know, it's all opiates. It's all escapes or grinding.
Or grinding.
Or grinding. And even the people who make art, who make the place feel better, we're grinding.
Right.
Like, we should be soaring and flying and wearing right white robes like philosophers and figuring shit out.
Shut your mouth!
Welcome back to the Midnight Miracle.
Shit is called
A Magnificent Day for Exorcism.
And it's about how we gonna deal with the shit unless we have a exorcism with all the evil from the beginning of the shit.
How do we atone if we don't extract?
Within ourselves and the country.
John, I don't know if this is for public consumption. Tell them about that Roger Ailes meeting.
So I had gone to O'Reilly because it was so outrageous what they were doing in that moment. So he and I had a heated conversation about it. And while I was over in the Fox studio, and I don't know if you've ever spent time in the Fox studio, but when you walk through the halls, it's like that scene in Indiana Jones where he walks through and all the little kids come out from the mine that are like, free us, take us with you. So I'm walking through the halls and somebody comes up to me afterwards and goes, Mr. Ailes would like to see you. Now, anybody who knows me knows I hate this motherfucker with a passion. I believe him to be one of the chief purveyors of... He's a poison peddler. He's the cyanide factory in Bhopal. He is Chernobyl and has metastasized a hatred and mainstreamed it in the virulence and made it acceptable. And I view him as one of the more catastrophic forces in American society. But a meeting's a meeting. So they walk me through there, and it is like you're walking through these weird hallways, and it's like going to see somebody who's in a DEFCON 5 location. Like, he's been secreted away into the silo. So it's all very protective and all that. And I walk in the office, and he's sitting there. Now, there are very few people that you will meet that are a physical manifestation of their own toxicity. Like, when they were designing Roger Ailes, they were like, you know, this man is what would botulism look like?
Oh my God.
if it was wearing suspenders. You know, that kind of shit. So I walk in, and the first thing he says to me is, "How are your children, Nathan and Maddie?" Now, I don't know this man, but what he's saying to me is, I can hurt you because I know what you love. And that said everything I needed to know.
How do we atone if we don't extract?
Fox News and that entire genre is broadcast out of the back of that man's head. And it's purposeful and it's designed to bring noise into the debate, to make clarity, to make trust more difficult, to devalue expertise while exerting dictatorial authority. And that's his whole game. And we just spent an hour. He was telling me I owe him fucking money because if it weren't for him, I wouldn't make any money. And I kept trying to explain to him, I would gladly live in a yurt if you would go away.
Oh, wow.
And it was just brutal.
I heard from Dixon that it literally looked like a battle of good versus evil. I believe the Luke Skywalker Darth Vader lightsaber fight was the imagery he used.
I mean, he's been at it since Nixon, right?
At it since Nixon, and purposeful since Nixon. And when he was with Nixon, he was like, you know what we need? A news organization that'll stop people from hearing this truth and broadcast them our truth. They've built a parallel society. That's where we're fucked. Everything's
upside. These people are fake.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. In case you haven't noticed, it's hard to trust anything you hear right now.
Another person claiming it's racist to have a white Santa. For all you kids watching at home, Santa just is white.
We're in danger. I'm in danger.
We're at war.
Betraying us has become religion.
This week, Ford inhale. Trust.
They've built a parallel universe that so no matter what you say, you should wear a mask. Really? Well, the doctor at Freedom Hospital says it actually gives you cancer. You ever meet him, Dave? Did you ever meet Ailes?
No. I would remember if I met somebody that fucked up looking.
Yeah.
Botulism? What are you doing here?
Yeah. He was like a beanbag chair with eyes.
Damn.
It's not benign. Like, that's the thing that I had the hardest. It's one of the reasons why I left the show. Like, it, for all the anger, for all those moments where you felt like, oh, yeah, I debated O'Reilly or all that, like, shit just got worse. Impotent rage at a certain point is just so corrosive to you as a person. Like, and that's how I felt. I felt like I know who you are. I know how fucking disgusting what you do is. I've told people it. I broadcasted it every night and it does nothing. You began to wonder, like, is what I'm doing amplifying the very thing that I find so destructive? They're 24/7, so they're relentless, right? They're purposeful, intentional, and relentless. A toxin that powerful, the cadence has to be much stronger. Like, you start to believe that there's an impact that can be had. And what you realize is if you really want to make that happen, you have to build a parallel infrastructure. You got to ails it.
What in the fuck is wrong with these people?
I'm Don Lemon. The president of the United States is racist. This guy is the worst ever. He is the worst president we have ever.
Washington, D.C. looks like a war zone right now because the big line that the election was stolen is spread by President.
No, I don't. I don't. I don't.
Apparently, in West Africa, there was a group of believing people, praying people, who were also legendarily known for their fighting skills. And they were opposing the colonial forces at that time. And they made a calculated decision about how they would engage. They had never been beaten. They said, if we fight them, we will lose. Not because we will lose the actual physical exchange, but we have to be careful for this enemy because the way that they fight, we run the risk of becoming like them. From fighting them.
We run the risk of becoming like them. From fighting them.
Express yourself. Express yourself.
If you're not angry, you're either a stone or you're too sick to be angry. You should be angry.
But what are you doing?
Now, mind you, there's a difference. You must not be bitter. Let me show you why. Bitterness is like cancer. It eats upon the host. It doesn't do anything to the object of its displeasure. So use that anger, yes. You write it. You paint it. You dance it. You march it. You vote it. You do everything about it. You talk it. Never stop talking it.
If you wanted legal status in whatever country you were, is it at all possible that you could claim refugee status from the United States? I'd like to return to my country, but I'm afraid.
That's a really interesting question.
I think it's a legitimate dilemma. If I were you, comfortable in an undisclosed location and face the daunting task of coming back to a burning America that's racially tense. And it is.
The first feature that I find interesting about the conversation now about race in America is that a lot of emphasis is put on police brutality, and understandably so. But I think one of the things that's not mentioned enough is how just tense, to say the least, it is on the street for the average black person in America today. I'm not saying that World Star is like a primary news source for me, but whenever I go on World Star,
what it is,
it's mine.
I pity the country. I pity the state. And the mind of a man who thrives on hate.
How many times do you have to see somebody like having some like nigger seizure at the Walmart or the Piggy Wiggly just for no good reason? Nigger monkeys. They're just some crazy dude in the parking lot that don't want to move his space and is like, nigger. They start having nigger attacks and it's like, you know what I'm saying? You don't know what to do with these people. It's like, should you call the police or like a medical healthcare professional? Because somebody's like, they're having a crisis or an episode. What do they expect black people to do? Start crying when you call us nigga? Like, it's like, you know, it's
I might be one of the only black dudes you know that call the police on white people on a regular basis. Hello, police. They've come back again. Yes, this is Dale. Sorry to call you at home, but I figured it'd be faster.
They pull and leap on me. They're seeking to draw me away from the roundness of the light.
they are caricatures of the human condition. It's fucked up. They bullet hoarding, toilet paper hoarding, dirty t-shirt having, over-opinionated motherfuckers. If I see one more motherfucker in a dirty t-shirt talking about, I need to hear more about their foreign policy, shut the fuck up.
You're having these conversations about good and evil because people are doing heinous acts in public and justifying them. People are acting as if they don't know the difference between right and wrong and saying that right and wrong or good and evil are basically subjective experiences, which is not completely true. Saying that good and evil are subjective is in and of itself
evil. I was kidding.
Right. To kill somebody over a $20 discrepancy is permissible because it's legal. So it may be legal, but it may not be just. If it's a crisis on that basic a level, then I don't know if the future is worth living in a society like that. Because you're always going to have to return to these type of polemics about basic things. You know, life is sacred. The fact that we have to say Black Lives Matter or that it has to be said at all and that the response to that from some people is all lives matter, it's like, yes, dumbbell, that's what I'm saying, including mine. The fact that I have to say that my life matters in a society is a problem. And really, it's more of a problem than we even sometimes have the emotional bandwidth to absorb. And we don't like to address some of these issues as a nation in all of their seriousness because we've been spending such a huge time, at least in the last 50 years, amusing ourselves away from any real resolution or any recognition of shortcoming, fault, doubt, anything else. It's just like win, 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 win. It's like, you know, the whole shit is just like a T-Pain victory lap. You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. There's no place for like real national mourning. There's no place for real inventory. But then when you get some of these people who are so entrenched in their backwardness and they're just running around, you know, at the local Piggly Wiggly, the Walmart.
He said Piggly Wiggly.
The movie theater, like, this has nothing to do with police. This is neighbor to neighbor, countryman to countryman, you know, people whipping out guns. This is a huge, huge problem.
I pity the country, I pity the state, and the mind of a man who thrives on hate.
Hold on, Q-Tip is calling. I want to put him on. Hey, yo, Kamal, what's up?
Who the fuck calling me by my government?
Yeah. You know I did it. What's up, Tip?
Don't what's up me, nigga.
What's up, Tip?
How's everybody doing?
We're good. How are you, man? So
better
good to hear your voice.
Yes, sir.
What's going on over there in Swingsville?
We was talking about good versus evil, and now we're talking to you.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, I'm glad I came
said,
on
oh,
this.
God.
I was thinking about, like, where we are, right, with everything. And I'm trying to think, like, over the past probably 30 years, what has been the great diplomatic currency that America has given to the world? Is it, like, innovation?
Culture.
Is it tech? Is it...
Oh, come on, bro. That's right. Most just said it. The cultural contribution of African Americans is the only quintessential American thing. Everything else comes from somewhere else. Even though we were African, we were our history.
But America,
was,
I understand that, and that's certainly true.
And I know you understand it. I'm saying that's the thing. The original sin of America produced some of the greatest Americans. They downtrod us, and then they raise us up. Muhammad Ali, quintessential American production, jazz music.
They don't raise us up. We happen in spite of them, not because of them.
And they, all right, and they have to jump on board. They don't raise us up, but they have to jump on board. We get up every time. We get up.
So then how do we leverage that? How would one leverage that into the quagmire that we're in?
the beauty of what we do.
Run. Run for your lives. get out of there. The building's on fire. Run for your lives.
No, no. If the building's on fire, my God, man, with the water, that'll put it out. Listen, this country, as bad as it is and with all its faults, is my primary point of reference. And yours and yours and yours. Yassine Bey, you out in space right now, but you're in our space program. We made you, we built you, we nurtured you, we supported you, we loved you, and we are enabling you to do all the amazing things that we know that you could do, which is why you're the guy. It's all of us. We bring what we can back, we give what we can back, but just the fact that we make a way, that we cut a path out that someone can follow, well, that's very valuable. It's a wild paradox that we are. It's a wild paradox that we live in. And I don't think any patriot could be more patriotic than an African-American, because we don't even know where to go if we had to go home and everyone else gets to know. We don't know what language we spoke. We don't know anything about our past because they systematically erased it from us. But we have each other as a wonderful point of reference. And all of our music, all of our culture, all of our poetry is about the same energy that makes us survive a nightmare and make it beautiful. Not just for us, well, for everybody.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The beauty of who we are as artists and people who express themselves, whether it be athletically, intellectually, or creatively, is that we're kind of obtuse, or we're kind of unconventional. And some of that unconventional thinking leads to innovation, which is where the innovation needs to happen. And I use that in a very bare Webster's term, as it applies to, you know, the constituency here, because it needs to be redone. Because the way it stands now, it does not work. What has made it work, unbeknownst to the people who put it up, was this kind of convenience. Us being able to have these kind of conversations. These kind of conversations privately and publicly. So I think that we have to ask ourselves those questions. And once we come up with that plan, we're going to have to blow it up. And then reinstitute something that's more whole, that looks truly like America. Because if you look at the ideas of America when it was written just on that paper, you know, taking everybody from all shores and we want the best of all of you, it's a beautiful sentiment. But unfortunately, it wasn't intended for everybody.
There's three names I'm going to say. It's Jack Johnson, Quincy Jones, and Yassine Bey. The best way to prove that Black Lives Matter is to live an outstanding Black life. in spite of everything they do, no matter what they say, I'm gonna be as excellent as God made me. Or as close to that as I could possibly be. And the reason I say those three names is because Jack Johnson said something that I found very profound. At the end of his life, he said, I risked everything for my pleasure. It's just such a human thing to want. And to have that pleasure, he was put in so much peril. And my God, he did it anyway. The famous story of him speeding and the police in the South telling Jack Johnson when they pulled him over, it cost $200, which is a lot of money back then. It cost $200 if a nigga speeds down these roads. Jack Johnson gave him $400 and said, I'm coming back this way. Quincy Jones, I sat in a restaurant in Washington, D.C. with Quincy Jones, and he kept just saying women's names and asking me to Google them. He would tell me stories. I met her in Paris, and she said this, and I said that. And they were romantic, beautiful stories of a black jazz musician who found a way from America to live a fucking cavalier life overseas. And my nigga Yasin. Boy, if he said it, you can't prove he didn't mean it. Everything I've seen you do subsequent to your declarations are true. You want to be free. You live that way. At great peril to yourself, at great expense to yourself, at great hardship to yourself. If you stayed here in America, you know, you'd be like any of the rest of us. Millions and millions of dollars and this and that and that movie and this movie and that movie. But there were basic human things that you wanted to explore about yourself. And you took what other people thought was valuable. You shunned it so you could do what you knew was actually valuable. Well, that's a way.
Unfortunately, it wasn't set up for us to be that fortuitous so that there could be more Jack Johnsons and more Quincy Jones or people who didn't even
but
have
a culture
to be
of people that were forced to be that and were able to be that. Well, this is an amazing culture. This is a culture that makes jazz music. This is a culture that makes hip-hop music. This is a culture that does stand-up comedy better than every fucking body. Everybody, Faison.
I think there's more than one solution. I think that people have to do or work in whatever way that is best suited to what the best that they have to offer is. So for some people, that will be being in a certain place, whether it be America or Africa or whatever. It's good to have a dynamic group of people working in various ways toward a shared common goal, which in this instance is just, you know, freedom. Freedom.
Midnight Miracle.